down here together. Father, as we open up the scripture and we look to it, Lord, we want to learn from it and from you. Help us, Father, to be honest with ourselves and our assessment of our lives so that we might accomplish, Father, what you have in store for us. We thank you, God, for being so good to us, for being loving and being caring, for helping us through the hard times and standing with us in the glad times. We pray for the kids going to Children's Church that you'd help them to be attentive and to learn, that they would know it's not a time to goof off or to be selfish and drawing attention to themselves, but a time, Lord, for them to focus and to learn about your Bible and about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 begins, "For this reason," now Paul is writing, he says, and he's writing to the Ephesians, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth, and and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20. "Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now the passage begins in Ephesians 3:14, it starts, "For this reason." You know, what reason? Well, the reason, if we read back, the reason that, "For this reason," the reason is that eternal life has been extended to the Gentiles. It's no longer a Jewish thing. It's no longer a Hebrew thing. It's no longer that the Israelites are God's only chosen people. Now it also includes the Gentiles. You think, well, who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are everybody else. Every race, every creed, every background. The gospel is extended to all people. You say, does the gospel extend to the Hindus? Yes. The gospel is beckoning to the Hindu to leave their faith and come to Christ. You say, well, what if they want to stay Hindus and be Christian? I don't know. What if you want to have a bowl of fresh water and a bowl of salt water, but you only have one bowl, so you put them together? What do you have? Salt and water. Because the salt overpowers it. The corruption of the false religion will ruin the purity of the right religion. That's not a very popular thing to say in our society today, to stand and say someone's wrong. We're only supposed to point to what's good and right. We're never supposed to say someone's wrong, that someone's evil. That we're never supposed to say what's bad. We're only supposed to point to what's good. By pointing to what's good, everybody will figure it out. But that's not the case. St. Francis of Assisi is credited with saying, "In all things, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." Okay? It's necessary. Use words. We don't have to talk all the time, but it is necessary. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." Because the gospel has gone out to the whole world, Paul says, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What does it mean to be strengthened with power through His Spirit? Well, you know what? When it comes to spiritual things, who doesn't want to be stronger? I mean, really, who wouldn't want to be able to deal with life's adversities even better? Who doesn't want to be spiritually stronger? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Perfect peace. Perfect peace sounds, well, it sounds
perfect.
Exactly. Is it attainable? You might think, well, you think, not this side of the veil, only in heaven, not here. Well, so maybe it's not attainable here. But then again, maybe it is. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says there that according to the riches of His glory, God's glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So what we have is God's power working through His Spirit to strengthen us. What are God's limitations? He has none. So maybe it is possible. But He's working in our spirit. Or excuse me, He's working with His Spirit in our inner being. We see the phrase inner being. I want to tell you that Paul used that same combination of words three times in his writings. One of those places was in Romans chapter 22, verse 23. He says, "For this is Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Verse 23. "But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." There is a war going on in our inner being. And we cannot live a positive life with a negative mind. We have to face that war, and we have to deal with it. The Bible speaks clearly concerning how to have success with our thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, one of the great passages in the New Testament. There, this same apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." How important is it? He says, "Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone that the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God," there's that peace again, mentioning that peace, "and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Then he says this, "Finally, brothers," and he means sisters too, "finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." This is a pretty simple, blunt comment. There's so many illustrations of this in our lives. Take politics, for example. There's a lot of people right now that think, oh, Donald Trump is running this place to the ground. Well, I've got to tell you something. If you're one of the people who's saying that, I've got to tell you, I listened to people for 8 years saying Barack Obama was ruining our country. And now we have somebody walking in a completely different direction, and everybody's saying he's ruining the country. So I have this idea that maybe, just maybe, these guys really don't have as much control as they think they have. And that they don't have as much control as a lot of us think they do. Maybe, just maybe, there's a higher force that's at work. And so, maybe, just maybe, instead of focusing on Donald Trump, we can look at it and say, you know, whatever's true, and I'll tell you what's true. America's been through bigger, harder times than this. And I'm going to think on that thing. I'm going to think on whatever's honorable. I watch my television and I see all kinds of garbage. And that prompts me to change channels or shut it off. Because whatever is honorable is what's supposed to go in here, not whatever's polluted.
Yeah.
So I want to think on the things that are good. Whatever's just, you know, you read in my newsletter some of this thing that was in the news last week about Roseanne Barr and Samantha Bee. I knew who Roseanne Barr was from her show 20 years ago. I had no idea who Samantha Bee was. I gotta tell you, I had no idea who Valerie Jarrett was. And I had to look all that stuff up so I could write the article that's in the newsletter. I don't know, because I find that stuff to be depressing. And I find it to pull me away from God. So why would I watch television that ruins me spiritually? Why would I study politicians that are going in a way that's away from God? Why would I do that? Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, and there's always some excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, and Jesus always is, think on these things. Things not going your way at work, don't focus on what's wrong. Focus on what's right. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on how to fix the problem. Things going on in church that you don't like, don't focus on what you don't like. Focus on what you do like. Focus on how you can help to move and steer and love and guide the congregation in the way that you are completely convicted and convinced that God wants it to go. Otherwise, don't gossip. Pretty simple. That applies all throughout so many areas of our lives. If you have trouble gossiping on the phone, put the phone outside and unplug it. Problem solved. A positive mind, though, a positive mind in Jesus Christ is the key for living with peace. The problem is that life makes living in peace really hard. Positive thinking is not the solution to life's hardest things. See, we can think all the happy thoughts that we want, but if our loved one dies, they're still gone. And the void is too big for positive thoughts to fill. The news of a health crisis. The doctor gives you a diagnosis and says, hey, you've got cancer. I'll tell you what, you can sit there and sing, I see trees of green, red roses too. I see a moon forming you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. But you still have cancer. So I would recommend a positive attitude, chemotherapy, and radiation. You see, life throws curves at us. It throws things at us that that positive thinking won't fix. A lot of things it will fix, but not everything. To serve these most, or excuse me, to survive these most difficult times, we have to apply the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, His promise is that when our money runs out and the bill collectors are calling, His message to us is that His love has not changed. That we still have a family that we're a part of. You see, when the doctor delivers that bad news, Jesus Christ still loves us. His love does not change. And when death comes calling, we can just ask Jesus to get the door. Because Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And by the power of Christ, we too will rise from the dead. There are plenty of scary things and events in this world. But we can manage because we have Christ in our inner being. We have Christ there. We have a flame of hope burning that cannot be extinguished. So the devil can huff, and he can puff, and he can blow. And he might blow your light out. But I'm going to tell you that there is a furnace beside you that is the light and the life of Jesus Christ, and no storm can end that. No storm, no problem in life can extinguish the fire of Christ. Now, you may have a void in your heart from something that happened. You may have a hurt place that nothing fills. But I'm here to tell you that in your brokenness, standing right beside you and even within you, is the love of Jesus Christ. And He wants to fill you and help you and carry you no matter how hard it gets. And no matter how hard it gets. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. This is one of my favorite. I shouldn't say favorite. I should say this is one of the passages that I find the most encouraging in the Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors. We who have faced problems, we who have faced death, we who have lost loved ones, we who have received diagnoses that will make your knees knock, we who have problems galore, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wow. He stands there with us. Every day, all the way, every single time. And when we know that we are loved, then we are like a tree that is planted by the waters. A tree, and if you're wondering where did I get that from, Psalm 1. We are like a tree planted by the waters that can endure the hottest days, the driest droughts. We don't drop our leaves out of season because we have power in our inner being that can only come through the gift of God. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you do not heal this type of power, I want to tell you this. You are spending way too much time with your eyes closed and your back toward Him. You need to turn around and face Him. Somebody once said, God is my co-pilot. And somebody else said, then you're in the wrong seat. And therein lies the blessing. Because if God's flying the plane, whatever happens, if it's okay with Him, it's okay with me. It may hurt. I may wish I were dead. But if it's okay with Him, it's okay with me. That is the message of the epistles. Letting you know that He is our strength. Ephesians should be chapter 3, verse 18. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Let me say that again. Now, to Him, God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. That means all the things that you think are impossible are not impossible. If you think you can't, you can. Because we can. Because to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, which is the Spirit of God, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. The Word of God is true, it is sure, it is unchanging, because God has spoken it. He's held to it, He's maintained it. Do you stick with Him? The nature of communion is the nature that on the night of the Last Supper, the night of Jesus' last Passover, He gathered all of His disciples around for what was the grandest celebration of the year for the Jewish people. This was their Christmas dinner. Big celebration, big deal. But this time Jesus did it a little differently. Instead of going through the common rituals that were done, He took the bread and He said, this is my body. No one had ever said that before. He took the cup of wine, and He said, this is my blood. Imagine the thoughts that were racing through the minds of those disciples as they sat there. And as Jesus said, take and eat, take and drink. He's saying, take me and ingest me into your inner being. Take me, take Jesus, and put Him inside you, in your stomach, in your heart, in your mind. Let the acids of your stomach pick up that bread and that juice and take it all throughout your body so that the love of Christ reaches your fingertips and your toes. So that it permeates every bit of you and provides a little bit of life for you. And it says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. That's what communion is all about. As, you know, Scripture says, if you take communion in an unworthy manner, then you're bringing condemnation on yourself. So if you're taking the communion without stopping to think what it really means, if you just eat it like it's a hamburger, don't do that. You're hurting yourself. Jesus, this is a memory. This is the way we remember that Jesus was nailed to a cross and he died. His body was broken. His blood was spilled. His life on earth was destroyed. But not even death could conquer him. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation was able to take the life of Jesus Christ and destroy it. You see, he rose on the third day. He died for our sin. He died on the cross, a sacrifice for our sin. And he rose to life on the third day. Our hope for eternal life. As often as you take it, take it in remembrance of him and what he's done for you and for me. Father, we just thank you for this meal, this feast that is placed here before us. Lord, it's probably not enough to sustain our lives in the body. But Lord, this communion is enough to sustain our spirits for eternity. And so, Father, as we take this communion and we share it today, help us, Father, to do it seriously. Help us to be mindful of who Christ is, that we would never take him for granted or think him small. But this, Lord, is a big, big deal. Thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to learn today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The elders of this world get you down. It will beat you up. It will give you diagnoses that you don't like. It will give you problems that you did not believe you can endure. But if you will walk with God, you will find that you will endure, that you will make it, and you will find that your joy will be complete. In Christ Jesus, when we all get to heaven. Father, I ask your blessings upon this congregation throughout this week, Lord, as June begins, as the rain falls, and I hope that was thunder and not something else, and as the weather comes upon us, Lord, we do not fear, for you are our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.